We'll be reading from the Word of God, chapter 20 of the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 20. We've read the first 18 verses. We'll continue the reading at verse 19 to the end of the chapter. Have you ever had the thought, it would be so much easier for me if, you know, I could have lived back when I could have seen Jesus and seen with my own eyes the things that he did, heard with my own ears what he had to say, seen him alive from the dead. Faith would be so much easier for me. Well, I hope that after our time together this morning, if that is your thinking or has been your thinking, you'll revise it. Let us give heed to God's Word as the Holy Spirit led the Apostle John to write it. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands and the marks of the nails and place my finger into the marks of the nails and place my hand in his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, the disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be disbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Let us pray. We hear the Spirit-given testimony of your servant John, who was an eyewitness to these things. We pray, O Lord, that our eyes might be opened, that we by faith may see and know the truth of what we have heard, that our hopes may rest entirely upon Christ and nothing in this world, that we may receive the blessing which Christ promises to those who believe. We pray in his name. Amen. I do wish to make one correction. It's kind of a footnote to the translation I just read, the English Standard Version in verse 26. It says 8 days later. Better translation would be a week later. Days were not counted as we count days. For us, 8 days from now would be Monday. For the Jews, the count would start today, and 8 days from now would be next Sunday, a week from now. It was a week later, it was the next Sunday. All right. Having said that, (clears throat) We have a great confession of faith in the verses we just read from the lips of the man who's come to be known as Doubting Thomas. And in answer to that, we have from our Lord's lips a wonderful beatitude. If you will, Jesus' last beatitude. But let's look at Doubting Thomas and his confession of faith. You heard the story, the account. He wasn't present for the appearances of Jesus on the day that he rose from the dead. He wasn't there with the women when Jesus met them on the way and revealed himself to them. He wasn't with the disciples later when Jesus was with them in the upper room where they were hiding. And so when he heard their testimony, he must have regarded it as too wonderful to be true. You will remember the reason that they are hiding in the upper room is because for them, with the death of Jesus on the cross, everything they had hoped in has been destroyed, as they see it. All their hopes had been in Christ as the promised Messiah, and now he is dead and buried. And the authorities, who were so bent on killing him, they may come after the disciples next. So they are a pathetic lot. Sad, shattered, afraid, hiding, hopeless. And Thomas is one of them. But he's not there when they see Jesus. And it is, I think, out of those feelings of hopelessness and disappointment, profound disappointment, that he says, it's too good to be true. Maybe you're hallucinating. Maybe you thought you saw him because you want so badly to see him again. The other Gospels tell us that until they actually saw Jesus risen from the dead, they forgot all the times that he had said, after 3 days I will rise again. Thomas too. So he says to them, unless I see his nail wounds and put my hands in his side, I will not believe. Now thank God for Thomas and his doubts. He gets a bit of a bum rap being called Doubting Thomas. I'll explain that below. But in the providence of God, Thomas was not there on the first day. Thomas questions the reality of the truth of their testimony. And Thomas then speaks for so many today, what we might call modern people. Well, seeing is believing, which by the way isn't true, but that's the conviction today. Seeing is believing. How could such a thing be true? It's an impossibility. I can't believe it unless I see it. So there it is in Thomas's mouth. And a week later, the second first day of the week, what we call Sunday, Jesus again came. Again appeared in their midst, within the locked doors. And he pronounced his peace upon them, and then he directed his attention to Thomas in particular. Here are my wounds, Thomas. And Thomas's response is wonderful. My Lord and my God. What a great confession of faith. And I think truly the climax of the Gospel of John. Everything from this point on is postscript. And this is every Christian's confession of faith. Listen, if Jesus is not God, if he was just a man who had been made alive by some miracle. Well, Lazarus rose from the dead after 4 days in the tomb and stinking. Perhaps by some miracle, this mere man Jesus came back from the dead. If that was the case, then what should he have done when Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God? He should have done what Paul did. When a group of people, it's recorded in Acts chapter 14, when a group of people saw a miracle that he did and thought he was a god come to earth and brought a cow out to sacrifice a cow and worship Paul and Barnabas. He and Barnabas tore their clothes and ran through the crowd pleading with them, "Don't do this, don't do this. We are just mere men like you. Worship the one true God who made heaven and earth." Or, the very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, the Apostle John has had an angel custodian through the visions to explain things to him, this mighty angel. And John records that in chapter 2, he records that he fell down to worship this mighty angel, and the angel said, "Don't worship me. I am a creature. Worship God." And so here is Jesus. Thomas is worshiping him. What should Jesus do if he is not God? He should correct Thomas. And without that correction, he truly would be blaspheming if he is not God. But Jesus did not rebuke Thomas. And Thomas was not blaspheming because Jesus is Lord and God. And the Father raising him from the dead is the great demonstration of that fact. If Jesus had been but a mere man, he would still be in the tomb. Somebody would find his bones maybe someday. But he is Lord and God. And for you and me, this is not just an interesting historic question. This is not something for the History Channel to entertain us with. Well, is he or isn't he? This truth comes to you and to me and calls on us to join with Thomas and from our hearts confess, "Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my God." And the blessing which Jesus now pronounces, if we are going to receive that blessing, depends on our responding to Jesus in faith and believing in our hearts that He is the risen Lord of heaven and earth, and that He is with the Father and the Spirit, the mighty God. So let's look at this last beatitude, this blessing. What is a beatitude? A beatitude is the pronouncement of a blessing. One person blesses another person or other persons. In so doing, he wishes them well with a kind of prayer. But when Jesus blesses people, it's more than a wish and it's more than a prayer. It is a pronouncement from the Lord Himself. This is what God will do for the person, to the person on whom blessing is pronounced. And by the way, at the beginning and the end of our worship services, blessing is pronounced on the congregation of God's people. It's not my blessing, it's God's blessing spoken through my mouth using the words of the apostles as we read them in the Scriptures. And you should receive it not as good wishes for me, but as God's assurance of blessing to those who are truly His people. So, the most famous Beatitudes are, well, the Beatitudes that are found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12. You're familiar with them, I'm sure, and at least many of you are familiar with them, such as, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." It's not a wish, it's not a prayer, it's a pronouncement of blessing. So here, our Lord Jesus pronounces blessing on all who believe in Him. Who believe in Him as the risen Lord, but everything else that goes with that. He says to Thomas, verse 29, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see me yet believed? Well, yes, he precedes the blessing with a question. Now, it's a rhetorical question because Jesus certainly knows the answer. And it's not that he wants Thomas to say, well, yes or no. But the fact is that Thomas did believe in response to seeing with the eyes in his head. Now, let's be clear. Jesus is not putting Thomas down here. He's not criticizing Thomas. What is true of Thomas was true of all the other apostles. If we read some of the other accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, we would see that the women saw Jesus, they believed, they went to Peter, they went to the others, they said, "We have seen the Lord." And the response they got was, "Yeah, yeah." Bunch of emotional women. I think probably was in their thinking. But they didn't believe either until they saw with their eyes. And the blessing that God pronounces, that the Lord pronounces on faith, was certainly a blessing that came to them. Rather, our Lord's point is to make a contrast between those living then, the apostles, the eyewitnesses to Christ's resurrection, and those who will come later. Jesus' blessing is in particular a blessing on all the people who will believe in him without ever having seen him in this world. If it is a wonderful thing that Thomas, with his own eyes, saw Jesus alive, so that he, with the others, can bear testimony to us to the truth of the resurrection, how much more wonderful and amazing that people who have never seen Jesus with their eyes also believe in him. Peter speaks of the joy we have believing in him whom we have not seen. 1 Peter chapter 1. If the apostles, like Thomas, are blessed to see Jesus and believe, how much greater are the blessings, is the blessing to those who believe without seeing. So, of whom is Jesus speaking? It's in the past tense. Blessed are they who did not see yet believed. But this is one of those cases, and there are quite a few of them in Scripture, where the past tense is used to speak emphatically of something that will take place in the future. Whom the Lord justified, them he also glorified, Paul says in Romans 8. But we haven't been glorified yet. His point is, it is certain, so certain we will be glorified, that it can be spoken of as if it's happened. It is so certain that people will believe in Jesus Christ without seeing him with their eyes, that our Lord can speak of it as if it has happened already. Well, because it's God's doing, and it is certain. Of whom is Jesus speaking? He's talking about people the apostles will preach to in the coming years. People on the day of Pentecost who arrived in Jerusalem after Jesus' ascension into heaven. People in Samaria. People in Antioch. People in the cities of Greece and Rome and Persia and to the ends of the, and to all the places where the apostles went preaching Christ. And those to whom those believers will proclaim him down through the centuries to us. We have here the inspired, written, preserved testimony of the eyewitnesses, the apostles. That has been proclaimed generation by generation by the church down to us. Now, going back to the question I asked at the very beginning before we read Scripture. Some of you might have thought at some time or other, maybe even now, that, boy, it would just be so much easier to have lived back then and to have seen the things Jesus did, to have heard his preaching and teaching, to have seen his person, his love, his grace, his holiness, his righteousness in plain view, to have seen his miracles, to have seen him alive again from the dead. But Jesus is saying here, there is a greater blessing for those who believe in him without having seen those things, except as we see them by faith when we read the word or hear the word and believe it. Bear in mind, there were people back then who saw the wonderful things Jesus did and did not believe. There were even people present when Lazarus, 4 days in the tomb and stinking, came out at the word of Jesus, but who did not believe Jesus and went running off to the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem to tell them, well, you got problems now. And there were people who saw his miracles and heard his preaching and responded to him with, well, what looked like faith. But after a while, grew tired of him. And by the Thursday of the week that he had entered Jerusalem to the hosannas of the crowds, they were crying out to Pilate to crucify him. So seeing is not necessarily believing. People can see and not believe. People can see and sort of believe, but not really believe. Because faith is something that occurs in the heart. And unbelief is not the result of lack of evidence. Unbelief is the result of rebellion in the heart. We come out of our mother's wombs, children of Adam and Eve, at war with God, determined to go our way. That's why Christian parents have such difficulty disciplining and training children. Because the child's heart wants to go the wrong way. The disciples did believe, except for the one who was marked out to be the betrayer of Jesus. But the disciples did believe. But what did Jesus say to Peter when Peter made his great confession of faith in Matthew 16? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, you are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Peter and the other disciples saw what the crowd saw, but God gave them real faith in Christ. It takes the power of God's Holy Spirit working in people's hearts to deliver them from their war with God, from their rebellion against God, from their spiritual death, from their deliberate choosing to be unbelieving. It takes the work of God's Spirit sent by the Father and the Son. It took the work of God's Spirit for those who saw Jesus. And it still takes the work of God's Spirit for those who hear of Jesus in hearing the Word. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if his resurrection from the dead is your living hope, then give thanks to God, because you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2, verse 1. But God, by his mighty power and grace, has made you alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved through faith. That is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Give thanks to God. And pray. Pray that you and I will have greater confidence in God's power to use His Word to make dead people alive, to deliver people from spiritual death and raise them to spiritual life and to faith in Jesus. And to do so using even the humble testimony of ordinary Christians who don't have 3-year seminary degrees and ordinations. You. Now, what is the blessing of which Jesus speaks? He said, "Blessed are they who did not see and yet believe." What is this blessing that is pronounced on those who believe in Jesus? And I'll say again, if you continue in rebellion against God, if you continue going your own way, if you continue not surrendering to Christ and throwing yourself on God's mercy, believing in Him, you forfeit this blessing. It's very serious. What is the blessing? It's what John speaks of in verse 31. I'll read 30 and 31. "Therefore many other signs did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the promised Messiah, the King and Savior, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." And that life is everlasting life. Life with God and with Jesus. It's the life that Jesus spoke of at the tomb of Lazarus. Before He raised Lazarus from the dead, that, by the way, it was not a resurrection, that was a resuscitation. But Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." And to her he said, "Do you believe this?" And her believing response was, "I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." So be sure that you join with Martha, that you join with Thomas in saying of Jesus, "My Lord, my God." Because the life, the blessing He gives is life that is everlasting with Him, with the Father, and with the Holy Spirit. It is life that begins here, as I say, with a spiritual resurrection that is seen in faith, in which our sins are all forgiven. We have fellowship with the living God. We receive the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit to live in us, to guide us, to correct us, to strengthen us, to sanctify us. And we look forward to the day when Christ comes again and we too will be raised from the dead as He was, to a glorious resurrection. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, help us truly to hear your word. And help us to see with the eyes of faith what Thomas saw, what the apostles and the women saw, and what all of your redeemed people down through the ages have seen by faith. The Lord of glory who came from heaven, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered and died under Pontius Pilate, buried, rose again the third day from the dead and is now seated at your right hand, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Father, grant to us that faith which receives your eternal blessing, that on that day when Jesus comes to judge the living and the dead, we may each one of us be found to be full of the blessing of Christ, clothed in His righteousness, washed clean by His blood, alive by His Spirit, and eager to enter in to eternal glory, the eternal heavens, new heavens and earth. We pray, Father, that if there are any here now, or there are people in our families, among our friends whom we know who do not have this faith, that you bring them to it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.